I wonder if you work from home or would you like to work from home? It's something that many people dream of doing and some people are living the dream. But what is it like having a home-based business, whether it's your own or you work for someone else and you work from home? You're a remote worker. What are the benefits and what are the difficulties? That's what we're talking about this morning as our talking point on Overnights. And our expert in the field is Dr. Colin Benjamin. Now, Dr. Benjamin is chair of Marshall Place Associates, an independent think tank, and joins us live this morning on Overnights. Dr. Benjamin, good morning.
Morning, Tony.
So you are definitely working from home this morning.
I am indeed.
You are way...
I do most of the time.
Okay, usually do most of the time. Why and how did that come about?
Well, when you've retired for the third time, Tony, you tend to have less need to be in the office and more need to get something done.
And easier to dictate your terms of employment, I would imagine.
Terms and times.
So can we generalise? Who works from home and why?
Generally speaking, there are three different types of people who work from home, if you strip it down. There are those who basically are still wanting to spend time at home, have kids and are parents, and are therefore seeking the extra work and opportunity that comes from them being at home but also having the kids. There are people who are earning income which relates to their local community and are seeking ways in which they can have their home base and lower their cost of operation. And those who are basically having specialist skills and special opportunities or entrepreneurial skills, which generates a new business and a start-up from home.
But clearly, some of them work for someone else and some of them work for themselves.
That's correct. And some of them don't work for others. They are volunteers but work from home.
Is there any way of averaging a percentage of how many would work from home for lifestyle reasons and how many out of necessity?
Necessity entrepreneurs generally are about a third and opportunity entrepreneurs are about two-thirds.
Is the sector growing?
Yes, quite substantially.
Is there any particular reason why?
Since the great financial crisis, obviously the necessity group has been rising rapidly and the opportunity group has been falling proportionately.
I read an opinion piece recently by Tony Featherston, a specialist writer on small companies and entrepreneurs, and the first part of his article, the general thrust was, a lot of those people who work from home, whether it's for someone else or for themselves with their own small business, they struggle to be taken seriously by other people. The response is, why don't you get a real job? Is that common?
Yeah, I mean, Tony and I have discussed this quite considerably. The issue is that people don't understand that homework is not being in your pyjamas and having your slippers and feeding the dog and doing a bit of work on the side. It's a full-time, highly difficult and not that profitable, frankly, occupation for people.
Must require a lot of discipline.
To be successful, yes. To be successful requires all of the processes of business planning, marketing planning and strategy that go with a successful entrepreneurial venture.
And what words of wisdom or advice do you have for those who are thinking of working from home or do work from home but do struggle with that discipline?
I think there are two different issues in there, Tony. The first is those that are thinking and in the pre-start stage and those who are in the start-up and the development stage. Those in the pre-start stage need to answer a set of very precise questions and do their homework as to what's likely to make them successful, what's likely to deliver a business, is there a market for what they're doing, and is it a viable proposition. Those who have actually started have got a different set of proposition, that is, how to avoid the insurance salesman dilemma of having sold to mum, dad, the aunt and the kids, but having nobody left as a market. So is there a substantial enough market to build the business?
Let's talk about the benefits and then we'll talk about the difficulties. I imagine one of the first benefits would be you can avoid crowded roads, traffic jams, public transport, buses, ferries, trains, all that sort of thing. You're not a commuter anymore.
I think, well, let me put it another way. Dr. Shelton, who appeared on a program of yours earlier, gave 10 reasons for people working at home from her research, because she's done the major research on this. The first we found was convenience, that is not having to commute to work and being only 2 minutes from your office. The second was a sense of autonomy, not having a boss looking over your shoulder, and a large number of people see that as a critical issue, the escape to freedom. Then she pointed out being able to spend time looking after your kids, looking after your parents or family members, then being able to overcome barriers of prejudice and workforce attitudes where people basically felt that they were not respected in their skills or the role they could play. And then a lot of others was it's just a fun and a lifestyle which gives them a chance to literally live their own life.
Be pretty hard to be bullied working at home on your own, wouldn't it?
Amazingly, not so. There are two lots of potential bullying situations for the home-based business. One is family members who don't understand you're working and are demanding more and more attention and feel that they're being left out. And the other is people who are supplying to the home-based business and who put them under a lot of pressure in various ways, including scammers and similar.
Do you avoid office politics?
Politics is a process of competing demands, and the office politics can be home-based politics as well.
Is it good for the employer if it is a sort of business that does employ people who work from home? It cuts down their costs?
There's an increasing outsourcing and desking of jobs from the large corporations, which recognise that giving flexibility to its workforce for them to be there when they're needed, but being able to work from home, particularly now that we've got the internet and technologies which allow that to be effectively outsourced back to the home with a higher degree of productivity.
Okay, we've talked to any other benefits you'd like to nominate?
Well, I think the three big benefits. One is the personal sense of doing your own thing. The second is the freedom to be able to focus on the needs of the consumer rather than spending a lot of the time in organisational processes and committees and similar. And the third is the mobility that comes from being closest to your community and your market.
Wouldn't you still have to attend meetings, albeit by conference calls or conference videos?
Well, one of the biggest problems for small business and home business is, in fact, a sense of isolation, loneliness, and not being up with what's changing because you're not day-to-day involved in it. So those sorts of one day or 2 day a week being in office is often a pattern for those who are employed but working from home.
So talking about the challenges and arguably maybe the downsides of working from home, we've already talked about the need for discipline and time management skills, and you've just mentioned there perhaps a bit of social isolation. What else would possibly be a negative in the situation?
I think the three biggest ones I just mentioned, the sense of isolation and not being keeping up with what's going on so that you don't have that sense of social inclusion, which comes from being in a peer or team situation. The second is not having the access to the information systems other than the internet, so you're literally having to do your own thing rather than having a lot of leads and other generation from other business. And thirdly, the sense that if you're on your own, you really are totally on call and demand to your customers.
Technology must be very important, and technology that works well and works fast. You must, as far as the internet and telephones and all those sorts of things, that has to all work well, doesn't it?
I think we can all remember when the fax came in. We can all remember when the internet came in. We can now remember when the iPad came in, courtesy of Steve. But the critical issue is not so much either speed or but the degree of the noise that goes with that. That is, the rate of new material information. A lot of home-based businesses can be facing up to 200 emails incoming a day, and you're constantly on call.
Now, in amongst all of that, you wanted to talk about the issue of scams and the pressure of people to pick up on home-based work scams.
Yes.
Tell us what were the points you want to make about that.
Well, I think if you look at the work that the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACC, have done, they say scams targeting small business and home business are increasingly coming with everything from invoices for advertising, directory listings, requests from dubious office supply provisions, envelope stuffing, all sorts of various forms of scam, which they're constantly having to protect people from because these people are isolated, their business name is known, and then every form of scam from anywhere in the world can create the sorts of pressures that come from overpayment scams or trademark scams or directory scams people ringing up and saying, you need to have your home business in this directory, and you end up paying a fortune for nothing, etc.
But strangely enough, I would have thought they would be struggling to succeed with the home business person, anyone working from home, because if you're pretty much a one-person band, you'd know straight away that you didn't order those envelopes or you didn't ask for a listing in that directory.
It doesn't work as well as that. The approach will be, for example, that the scammer will contact you and say, would you like to have an extra income, an extra, say, $800 a week in for doing envelope stuffing? You get a whole range of stuff. They then charge you for the basic equipment, envelopes and so forth, and you've just paid out $800, you don't get another penny.
Okay, so...
Or you have a situation, another classic one that the ACC have pointed out is the scammer basically contacts you and says, you need to advertise if you want to get more work, you need to be able to place it in this business directory for your locality, and all you do is give us your credit card and details, and we'll put you into the next local edition.
There's always someone trying a lurk, isn't there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And home-based businesses, because they're isolated, don't have the peer review to be able to discuss what the sort of issues are. And so they can very easily believe a very convincing story, and you end up with a situation where you don't have anyone to check with.
This is Overnights on ABC Local Radio. Our Friday morning talking point is working from home. Our guest this morning, Dr. Colin Benjamin, Chair of Marshall Place Associates, an independent think tank, is sharing his knowledge and expertise on the topic of working from home. Colin Benjamin, you said it's a growing sector. How profitable is this sector of the workforce?
Profitable is a variable factor. For large business outsourcing, it's a highly profitable venture. For medium-scale businesses which have built up their capacity, for example, people who've been doing schemes on PayPal or similar, or specialist marketing, very profitable because their unit cost is lower. But for startups, it can be a very expensive and very long-term return issue.
Do most people think that a home business is probably selling, you know, plastic containers or very limited range of items?
No, I think most people see it as being in the service industries. So the vast bulk of home businesses are people, tradies, for example, working from home, carers working from home, specialist provision and counselling or support for childcare, aged care, etc., family daycare at home, office supply, personal assistance. The Tupperware image is long gone.
Okay. 1-300-800-222 is our number. Dicko sends an SMS. I'm an interstate truck driver. I live in the truck all week, so does that mean I work from home? I think, in a way, it definitely does mean you work from your mobile home. Dicko,
often
thanks.
Often it means that the missus is doing is the home-based accountant and the truckie is the person who's remembered.
Okay. Thanks, Dicko, for your SMS. Let's take some calls. And our good mate Craig the Baker's online. Hi, Craig.
Howdy doody, Tony.
You've done some part-time work from home on a casual basis, and it's harder than a lot of people might think, you reckon?
Yeah, yeah. I do video editing and do videos, whatever it comes my way, projects, weddings, whatever.
Yep.
And, yeah, a lot of my mates, they're like, oh, you know, that's pretty cool. Like, it's all claimed on tax and that, but it's side job sort of thing. And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool, but it's actually... It's a lot harder than a lot of people think. Like, they're like, oh, you just, you know, when you finish your other job, you can do a bit of hours here, a bit of hours there. But it's not like that. It's very hard to actually roster myself to go, all right, I've got a project coming up. I've got to roster myself for a couple of hours in the office and do this. And then, but other things come up at home. And you just, whereas I found if I was at a, like if I had a building and I went to that building and I did, you know, 4 hours worth of work, you know, I'd get a lot more done. Like my mate's a photographer, and he used to work from home. And as soon as he bought a shop front, fair enough, the rent, he went up in rent. But his productivity, he reckoned, went up 250% just because he walked into that shop and went, right, I'm here to do work, as opposed to when he used to walk into his office and go, okay, let's edit some photos, and then I'll go and make a coffee, and then I'll do this. And
So again, it gets back to this issue of discipline, doesn't it? You have to have that discipline if you're going to work from home.
I got this, and I found I did do a lot of things, like I changed my office around, I got a new computer system set up, and now when I walk into that corner, that's pretty much, I don't do anything else. I'm there, and I sit down, and my project's there. I don't do anything else.
Okay, you're in the zone. Yeah. Good on you, Craig. Thanks very much for your call, and it raises a question I want to ask you, Dr. Benjamin. Do you recommend setting up a separate office area or working space at home so one feels as though you've crossed a threshold and say, I'm at work now?
Very much so. I think it's very important to, although a lot of people say we started on the kitchen table, it's very important to have an office, a desk, and a place and a time so that you've got a strategic plan and you're running a business. You're not simply doing work from home.
Jess from Cockatoo has given us a call. Morning, Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. You want to focus or help us focus a little bit on the best aspects of working from home?
Oh, I love working from home. It means I can focus on doing what's best rather than what someone else may be telling me what to do, which may sometimes be what's best, but sometimes...
But you have worked in the traditional workplace, if I can call it that?
Oh, yes, definitely, and I'm quite happy to do that again.
So how did it come about that you work at home? How much
I'm
you want to...
I'm a writer.
You're a writer? Okay. How do you get along with the disciplines of having to focus on work?
I just love working, and it just comes really natural to me to Reiki heal, do Reiki healing.
Okay, what other benefits would you list for someone who's thinking of doing it?
Working from home.
Yeah.
You can eat the food that's really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can sleep and rest as you need to. You can talk on the phone and listen to people and learn and on the phone. And you can...
set up your own work structures by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jess. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
Jess and Cockatoo, she's a very happy home worker. 1-300-800-222. But no doubt about it, Colin Benjamin, having a home business is not for everyone, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, there's a lot of romanticism for those who have not done it, who basically see the advantages of working from home as freedom, lifestyle, choices, and being able to be having both a personal and a workspace and not dividing them and being in charge. But the reality is the loneliness and isolation, the problems of time management, which we just mentioned, the cash flow issues and the real pressures that come from rise and fall of income, and the sense that the office never goes away, it's always there. You can't have a sense of having a something non-work life when you're at home.
And what about support, the sort of support you can get in the workplace if you need it? How do you get it if you're working at home on your own?
There are three basic patterns on that, Tony. The first is networking and keeping a supply of people who are in the same industry or the same field and keeping in touch with them. The second is being in part of industry associations so that you're actually getting out of the office but still into the field of work. And the third is being part of and taking part in field days or office visits, etc., so you're constantly adding to and getting networks of support.
Is there any official support, government support? Is there any money available to set yourself up at home?
There's a huge amount. If you go to the internet, every state has a government business office. They all have got both start-up and medium-scale businesses. There's an excellent thing, as you know, I do a blog for smartcompany.com.au, and there's another one from Private Media called Startup Smart, which gives people access to the information which is available for the startup market.
Mm. Generally speaking, do we know yet whether there's any data to tell us whether people who work from home are more or less productive than those who work in a more traditional workplace?
Doesn't work that way. You have people who are unproductive at work in a big office, and you have people who, as was just mentioned earlier, you can be unproductive at home. It's more a question, as you said, of discipline, planning, and a determination to put the customer first.
Like setting up any small business, have you got to be prepared to lose a bit or struggle for a while? You know, it's not going to be instantly successful?
Certainly, it's the first year is bloody hard, The cash flow problems are enormous. Finding and creating customers is a constant battle, and it is not a hugely profitable proposition. Most home entrepreneurs, or most homepreneurs as they're called in the States, find that it is in fact a huge battle to get going. It's interesting to know that most homepreneurs are male rather than female in the startup stages, which says that it is a business decision, and they take usually a phoenix effect of having had a prior job and then capitalising on that to carry them through the first 6 or 7 months.
Ken's in Stanhope and joins us now. Ken, good morning to you. You live where you work, and there are times where you just love to be able to close the door and say, I'm going home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it does make a bit of sense. I actually used to work from home when I lived down in Melbourne. I went to come up here for a tree change. So now I actually live in the premises. But now, you know, the silver lining's gone out of it a bit, and I'd just love to be able to walk out and go home somewhere, even if it was only, you know, half a K down the road.
How long have you been doing it?
Well, I'm in the manufacturing side, you know, in woodcraft, but I've been at home. I've been doing it quite a few years now, but I've been up here for 5 years.
So how separate from the domestic arrangement is the work arrangement?
That's the problem. It's not.
It's literally room to room.
Yeah, it seems like you're working 24 hours a day. Like I'm up now, I've been up for over an hour working, you know. But it's just, you just never seem to get away from it. And Craig was pretty right what he said before too. But you're easily distracted. You can get easily distracted, no matter how disciplined you are.
Do you think there's a sense of guilt that maybe you're in the lounge room watching the footy and having a beer and knowing full well that just metres away is the workplace with a lot of work that still needs to be done?
Exactly right. That is exactly right. No matter how disciplined you are, you will be distracted somehow.
As hard as you've worked and as many hours as you've put in, there's still that feeling that it's only just down the hall and I could be back at work and maybe I should be back at work. What about other members of the family? Are they dragging you the other way, saying, come out of there and relax for a while and spend some time?
No, I'm on my own now, Tony, but I'm divorced, but it's probably through that too, actually, too much It's
So what would you say to anyone who's thinking of setting up a business at home? Is there any words of wisdom you can share to try and avoid that conflict?
Well, write down all your pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the biggest plus I see is watching traffic reports and knowing I'm not in any of that.
Yes, you must feel very smug.
Especially in the country where you probably, you know, walk across the main street, and if you have to give away to two cars, you know, it's a busy day.
Yeah, yeah.
But before, I was travelling from, like, Wallen all the way down to Essendon every day, and I don't miss that. But it's just if you've got self-control, yeah. But it depends what you're doing, though, too. If you're on a computer all day, it's probably different to operating bench saws and stuff, too.
Yeah. Colin Benjamin, while Ken's on the line, would there be anything you'd say to him?
Well, the question to ask, Ken, is if you're manufacturing, although you're in wood, are you able to get all the support you need to be able to be a manufacturer when you've got other supply issues?
Well, what do you mean by that, sorry?
Well, often somebody setting up at home doesn't have the purchasing officer or the other structures which help in the manufacturing plant.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
And
how do you get yourself around being in touch, getting the right prices on your timber and your materials, your lathes, etc.?
I do get out then and go down, you know, to Melbourne or something like that if I have to. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So how do you stay in touch and make sure that you're in touch with both your customers and your suppliers?
Oh, nowhere as much as what I used to be.
Right.
You do come a lot secluded, that's right. Mm. No, you are right there.
Okay. Yeah. Ken, thank you very much, and good luck with finding the right balance. Thanks for giving us a call on the topic this morning. Wellwee is our next port of call, and Melissa's waiting for us. Melissa, flexible hours and networking groups help with the isolation, you reckon?
Yeah. Well, there's not so much the flexible hours. I was just going to say with those that you kind of start working for yourself and working from home for the flexible hours, but you soon find out they are flexible hours as long as you're willing to work all the time, I think.
So the flexible hours is a plus?
It's a plus and a minus, I think. It's a bit of both.
Again, depending on that discipline?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it too. Mm.
But you say if for those who may be struggling a bit with the isolation, there are networking groups to support you?
Yeah, I work in the wedding industry doing like entertainment work, and I'm part of an industry-specific networking group, and it's all other wedding specialists, different service providers, as well as there's one person that's in the same, does the same thing as me, and it's fantastic, just meeting with people once a month who are doing the same thing you're doing, and on the same page and have the same problems and issues to deal with.
Support groups are there for that very reason, and most people come out of them all the better for the experience of being a part of them. How long have you been doing it, Melissa?
About 6 years.
Was it tough in the first part? Like our guest Colin Benjamin said, usually with a lot of these things, the first year can be tough.
Yeah, it was, the first kind of couple of years were a little bit of a struggle. I was a bit lucky in that everything timed quite nicely because I was quitting my job anyway because I was going to take time off to have a baby and just kind of started working from home with that. And then by the time I would have been going back to work, the business was kind of thriving. So, yeah, kind of timed nicely there.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. Jeff is in Nana Wadding this morning. Morning to you, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning.
You've got a question you'd like to put to Colin Benjamin.
Yeah, look, I know Colin's been around for a while and he's got a lot of future thinking. What I'm interested in, because I work in the sort of counselling, coaching space, is what he thinks are the advantages and opportunities that are going to come from the ageing population. And the other side of that is that travel from where I am into the city, which is normally 40 minutes by train, is now really getting difficult because it's so overcrowded. So staying at home is actually a benefit if you're going to try and rely on public transport, and the roads are hopeless.
I think you've got three things, Jeff. The first is, as you know, the coaching area. You've got more and more people coming in. You've got celebrants and all sorts of other people creeping in because there is, in fact, a growing market with the ageing issue, particularly families being concerned about dementia, people being concerned about Alzheimer's, about fractures, etc. So it's a growing area, and that will be one of the fastest growing areas of employment over the next two decades. Secondly, there's a growing interest in services within 15K of your home. So as the city's boundaries are being moved out, the CBD is becoming less and less significant. As David Jones will tell you, the regional centres are becoming the base, and a lot of coaches and counsellors are now taking rooms in and clinics, as you're aware, outside of their home, but they're seeing people at night in their home.
Thank you.
Okay, good on you, Jeff. Thank you. And on the SMS, Jacinta, this is an interesting one, Colin. Jacinta says, I've always worked on properties, and where I've worked, the bosses usually live there too. It's overwhelming. You are at work 24/7, even if you're not physically there. There's no escape and no downtime. Is that a different aspect again, the rural side of, if you like, home business?
There are a number of people who are working in homes, but that's not the home-based business, because there you have an employer. So when we're talking about a homepreneur, we're talking about somebody who is their own boss and in their own premises. Where people are working on somebody else's premises, whether it be on a hotel, on a property, rural property, or whether they are home-based nannies, etc., they have a very different sense because they have neither the benefits which come from freedom and lifestyle, nor the sense of being part of a team, because they've got the loneliness and isolation and the uncertainty of what's going on. That's almost the worst of both worlds.
Yes, you might have that accommodation situation where with the people you're working with all day are the people who you end up having dinner with and sharing
your
bunkhouse with, and that's why I suppose what Jacinta means, you're at work 24/7, and of course the boss is in the big house, so not very far away. Also, another texter says, working at home and small business or home business are different things, and we're mixing them up a little bit. Is it very important to make that distinction?
Absolutely. Small business is an issue of scale and scope. Home-based business is a question of location and the degree to which the person is having the operation in their residential space.
All right, and Luke and Bendigo sent us a text saying, I find discipline very hard with work at home. When your study is next to your bedroom, social isolation is a problem because it's not like the 9-to-5 workplace for many people elsewhere. We have Michelle on the line from Melbourne this morning. And Michelle, you'd like to take us to the issues of servicing the elderly and some of the benefits of working from home.
Yes, Ken. I contract to a home business that teaches seniors, although that's really over 45s, to use computers in their home on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find is that many of our clients are in their 80s, but we also have clients who are attempting to run their own home business but don't have the computer skills because they were not using computers at the time that the computers came into the industry.
Right.
And they've now got a business idea, but they need to learn to use the computer to run that business idea.
Yeah, you'd be lost without it, wouldn't you?
And I'd also like to mention, for me, a benefit for working from home is to manage the children, to be able to pick them up, to get them to school and to pick them up. So my business hours are 9:30 to 3:30, so I have a client in the morning and I have a client in the afternoon, but at 3:30 that's primarily the end of my business day. To pick the children up, and then it may start again after tea when I'll probably be doing some work that's outside of the actual consultation.
And therefore you're saving a lot of money on not having to pay after school care.
And I'm also providing the care
not to
myself.
Not to mention the quality time you get with your own kids.
And if my children need to go to sporting or additional activities after school, I can coordinate that around the hours that I need to work. I think Colin did raise a good issue about bullying from home, is that I think sometimes my work is not taken so seriously. So even though I may have been seeing clients all day...
By the family or by friends?
By the family.
Yep.
There's still, Mum, did we get the tomato sauce? Or, Mum, did you do this? Well, I've actually been working all day.
Mm.
So I think that was a good issue that Colin raised.
And I don't mean there's a patronising sense. Maybe you should have a hat stand with two hats on, or a hat that you wear that sort of says, when I'm wearing this hat, I'm working.
I think you just need to wear all the hats at the one time.
that's usually what mothers and fathers do, isn't it, Michelle?
Yes.
Michelle, thanks for your insight.
Before Michelle goes...
Yes, by all means.
Michelle, one of the things that the fastest growing areas, you mentioned aged care and the carers at home who are now using the internet basically as a lifeline and a service. Do you find that that you're able to get across the simplicity of the use of the internet rather than the massive overload?
Yes, the product does include very extensive notes that have very good graphics and are very, very step-by-step. So we go through it with them several times and then we get them to practice during the week. We've also sort of established some concepts that help older people learn the computer. So, for instance, we try and get a bigger screen. We try and get the most simple internet connection for them. And we try not to overload them. We really want to establish what do they want to do. Do they want to download their digital photos, or do they just want to look up their medical condition or find a support group? And so, or do they want to type their memoirs is another popular one. So in that case, we would be teaching them some basic formatting skills for a word processing program, but then we would look at connecting them to the internet and what way is that going to be easiest for them. For instance, I did have one client who had a very small notebook and had a very inconsistent internet connection, and we were spending more time looking at how to maintain that internet connection than what we were actually learning how to surf the net. So that's not the ideal environment. So I guess because we are dealing with the older population specifically, and we're not computer technicians, we only look at, tutoring the elderly. There is a crossover occasionally, but where we specialise in is what will work for mum or dad or grandma. You know, some grandmas do want to email the rest of their family.
Mm.
Some people only want to read emails. So we really establish what they would like to do, and then we look at what the tools are that are going to work the best for them.
So it's a form of empowerment, isn't it?
It's very much a form of empowerment. It's also, there's a lot of lonely people out there who don't have the contact, so they might be able to get that contact, even if it's just emailing me.
Okay.
They're learning to email. So I think it really is changing the way a lot of the elderly population is not sitting around in their pyjamas either watching the midday movie, and they're involved in groups and activities and body corporates, and they want to learn how to use the computer to be able to do that.
Mm. Good call. Michelle, thanks for taking the time to speak to us this morning.
Thanks, Colin. Bye-bye.
It's Tony, by the way. She called me Ken and called me Colin. I don't know where she's getting the names from, but call me Tony. It's Kim, Geraldine in Hobart. I'll come to you in just a moment, but first I want to go to Kim in Tathra on the south coast of New South Wales. Kim, how are you going? Now, you run a couple of businesses from home.
Well, yeah, I run my own personal business, which is selling composting toilets and grey water systems, and I run a worm farm.
Yeah.
And I do all this totally online. I would get probably 90% of my sales come through my website, and I use PayPal extensively, so people can use the shop button. And I'm probably probably getting 70% of my income coming through that PayPal system.
Okay.
Which is just marvellous. And I also manage a community-based IT organisation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting one because we've got three or four people on the committee, and they're spread out over a 100-kilometre radius, and we rarely see each other. because we're actually...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Ken?
Look, well, we actually had a physical meeting yesterday, and that was the first one we had in 3 months. I mean, it is really good to eyeball other people, and we got together and discussed issues for 3 hours.
Right.
And that's good to make that connection, but the majority of our communication is via email and Skype.
Mm-hmm.
We're all on Skype, and we can talk to each other, and often we'll have a conference call between the four of us. Others is just one-to-one. And you can really get into it's immediacy, which is the benefit.
You're very happy with the way it's all working out.
Well, yes, and we also use all of our invoicing for this for the IT company is also online using the service called Dropbox, which is free service, a limited free service. And Google Docs, again, a free service.
Okay, enough product names, Kim, please, if you don't mind.
Can I just ask you one question, Kim? What, you're almost entirely using online rather than webcam. Is there a reason why you're not using face-to-face webcam to create a sense of community?
I suppose, look, some of our people have limited internet connectivity.
Uh-huh. So broadband is coming and it'll all be okay.
We're all on broadband, but some of them are on wireless broadband.
Yes, huge amount.
Yeah, it certainly
but
does.
That's why internationally, homepreneurs are increasingly creating web communities.
Oh, yeah, I can really see the benefit of that. So I suppose what I did want to talk about also was the downside that some other of your callers have touched on.
Okay.
Is that... here it is now at nearly 5 o'clock, and I'm up and at it, been checking emails and doing my admin work. But particularly with the composting loo business, I will get calls at 7 o'clock on Sunday evenings and everything, because most of my customers are owner builders, and they don't have a concept of Jesus, weekend or it's night time.
Right. It's when they're doing that.
And I've just got to accept that basically I've got a business that runs 7 days, and that's sort of the downside. The upside of this working from home is the flexibility. Mm. You know, one of the examples is...
Kim, I'm sorry, I will have to move because we've got a few other calls, but I do appreciate all the points you've made. And there you are, as you say, you're up now and blow me down, you turn the radio on and here we are talking about working from home. There's no getting away from it. We've only got 5 minutes left before the next news and Geraldine's been waiting patiently in Hobart. Morning, Geraldine.
Good morning.
You act as a listening ear for friends from home, do you?
Oh, I do, for all over Tasmania. My late husband was a clergyman. I did a counselling course a long, long time ago, and lots of people still know who I am, and they ring me in, and because I'm a widow, I can identify with that. I've had cancer, I can identify with that. I had all my livelihood taken by a con man and all sorts of things, mainly life experience, you can put it down to.
Mm.
And so I just become a listening ear and a bit of a help to people that, you know, have been where I've been before them, where they're about to tread. And it's very rewarding. I ring them back as well, and I haven't got a great big phone bill because my local telco have got me on a plan where my local calls and my STD calls are free. So if I want to ring them back and check on them and see how they're going, see if they haven't committed suicide or something like that.
But you find there are plenty of people who need to talk to you.
Oh, look, there are so many lonely people out there, and sometimes, of course, I get lonely too. And so instead of, you know, I can hear somebody's voice. Instead of just getting a letter or something like that, I can hear someone's voice at all, as well. So it works both ways.
Mm. Okay, Geraldine, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And one of our texters says, you said the segment was working from home and not home-based business, as is being discussed. Well, you know, if you have a home-based business, you're working at home, aren't you? So whether you work from home for someone else or you have a home-based business, it's still working at home or working from home. So I think we are pretty much sticking to the topic. Colin Benjamin, before we let you go, is it in any way better for the environment? Is there, with less commuting and all that sort of thing, are there environmental benefits for this?
Definitely, and increasingly as we get, as I mentioned earlier, the change with broadband, people are actually making a choice as to whether they are working at home, from home, or going to work from home, giving them the chance to say, how do I want to live more of my life? And that includes being able to shift out to areas like Sea Change and into the hills and so forth, because they don't have to live literally onto the workplace as they would in the Industrial Revolution.
And you mentioned when we were talking to Michelle about the courses she runs, you asked her the question, does she emphasise the simplicity of the computer and the internet, not the complexity of it? Is that something that perhaps holds some people back from establishing their own business or working from home, is that they feel, particularly if they're a little bit older, they might be left behind or may not cope adequately with having to use so much technology?
Not so much that. As age increases and experience increases and the technology gets better, the elderly are taking it up. What they find, however, is that they don't know what else they can do. So they know the bit like writing or communicating or using it as a substitute for a phone, but the business cash flow monitoring, all that side, tends to be daunting.
Mm. Any final words of wisdom?
I think the three quick things would be, number one, make sure you plan and you don't treat working at home or working from home, to take that other comment, as being substitutes, but in fact requiring their own plans. Secondly, try to keep in touch with others and build networks. And thirdly, remember, the success of all business is creating new customers.
Okay. It's been very good of you to rise from your bed in the early hours of this Friday morning.
I actually haven't been to bed yet, Tony.
Oh, okay.
I'll do that next.
Okay. You and me both in about an hour's
right.
time. Thank you very much, Dr. Colin Benjamin, Chair of Marshall Place Associates, independent think tank, who's been our expert on overnights this morning on the topic of working from home.